Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Some show note, if you're looking for some professional wrestling today, KDW in Jeffersonville, Indiana, at the arena. You have WCWC in Portland, Oregon. DOA also in Portland, Oregon. And NWA Blue Collar also in Portland, Oregon. I'll be appearing at NWA Blue Collar later today. So if you're in the Portland area, plenty of professional wrestling choices today. So get out there, support. Go watch some professional wrestling today. QT, lots going on in the Pacific Northwest. I was at Northwest Pro last night in Vaughan, Washington. So lots going around in the Puget Sound.
Now, can you give our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners a slight GPS location of where Vaughan, Washington might be in case our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners want to travel to Vaughan in the future and they don't have GPS?
Yes, Vaughan, Washington is over in the Key Peninsula. They are near Purdy, Washington, and they are running shows once per month at the Key Peninsula Civic Center.
Now, was there an ironic twist to this? Was Von Hess wrestling in Vaughan yesterday?
He was not, but that would be ironic.
Yes. How about
although
Williams,
I did see the return of one of your very favorites, QT, on the card last night was Delirium.
You mean Christopher Rysik was there?
No, Delirium. I said one of, not your third most favorite.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if he'd classify Christopher Rysik as my third favorite. He's been rapidly climbing up my profile chart. Preference profile, that is. Yes.
Is he still ahead of Kellen Wraith, who at last report was fourth?
Kellen Wraith and Christopher Rysik were in a dead tie, yes. Based on what I saw in Woodland, Washington.
That was several months ago.
That's true. I have a good memory.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's not based on anything recent that keeps him propelling up the charts. It's just flashbacks to 8 months ago.
Well, now, Christopher Rysik did climb up my ladder slightly after I saw him in action in La Problemitas.
Was this his match against Sunny Days and Phantasma Ekis?
Yes, where he got the double bridge pin win. Very impressive.
All right. So was Kellen Wraith left behind slightly because he did not appear on that card?
Yes, he's one step behind, yes, right now, yes.
Keeping in mind, he did later lose to Randy the Pimp Taylor by disqualification. When he hit me in the face with a title belt, who does that to a person?
Yes, well, I discounted that, yes.
Oh, QT, I thought we were done with Delirium. I thought he had left when the Venture guys swept he and that other idiot, Darth Carter, out of the ring with brooms. I thought we were rid of him, but apparently not because Delirium resurfaced.
Well, I guess Delirium is taking a cue from the Dallas Cowboys. They were almost given up for dead, yet they've come back, and they're in contention.
Are you saying that Delirium was a member of the Dallas Cowboys. Do you have some sort of inside track on the identity of Delirium?
Well, I'm saying that Delirium has a pretty good size to him. Wouldn't you agree that he could be like a defensive end?
I don't know. He's fairly tall, but I don't know if he has a lot of a bulk to him.
Well, you know, Nelson, the NFL is going for a lot of speed these days. And if you can sacrifice a few pounds for that extra step of speed, well, I think they're starting to go with that. Yes.
Well, that might be reasonable.
Now, can you tell us who was on the opening card there last night?
Well, the opening thing that happened was Chuck Payne walked out and said he had been having issues with Randy Zellers, you know, one of the fellers. And he said in order for Randy Zellers to be granted a shot at his Washington State title, Randy would have to defeat him 3 times. He said Randy could not get a title match unless Randy won 3 times. Randy Zellers then, in rapid-fire succession, pinned Chuck Payne 3 separate times, instantly, in the span of a minute. So he will, I presume, next month on the 16th, be up for a Washington State title match against Chuck Payne.
Now, Sangay, that's huge news because I can't recall Randy Zellers ever getting 3 pins in a row and lapping in succession on anyone. Is this a new streak of viciousness that Randy Zeller has exhibited now? A streak of vicious? Yes.
It wasn't so much vicious. It was just technical wrestling that he employed and catching Chuck Payne off guard. I've never seen someone use a vicious schoolboy. So I'd have to discount the viciousness theory.
Well, okay, all right. To your knowledge, has Randy Zellers ever wrestled at a community college locally?
That's a possibility because Coach ran some, you know, community college-like settings.
Very outstanding. Were there any women in action last night on the card that you were at?
The only woman on the card was Chef's valet, Sara Lee.
Sara Lee is a valet, huh?
Sara Lee is a valet. Not the WWE Tough Enough Sara Lee, but a completely different, separate person who is Chef's valet. And apparently she does very well because Chef won and defended his Northwest Pro Heavyweight Championship against Dave Turner.
Isn't it kind of ironic that someone named Sara Lee and Chef would be combined? Yes.
It is a little bit.
Because I'm a huge fan of Sara Lee desserts. Yes.
Is your favorite the apple pie?
Cherry pie, yes.
Ah, the cherry pie. And would that mean your favorite 80s song is Cherry Pie by Warrant?
Oh, no, they were a second-ranked JV group, yes. If
so,
you're only known for one hit named after a dessert and you're an 80s hair band, you're just second-string JV.
Wow, so you're not a huge fan of the song Cherry Pie by Warrant?
No. I've seen better opening theme songs at Blue Collar Wrestling, opening theme songs, yes. Entrance music.
Are you talking about Blue Collar by Styx, which is the opening theme used every week?
Yeah, Blue Collar by Styx is a pretty good song, yes.
All right, because that is the official NWA Blue Collar theme song, as you hear every week.
Even Rex Razor Sharp would kind of agree to that, which I would like to point out to all our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, we may have gotten slightly off the wrestling tracks last Friday, but it's a darn good read or a darn good listen nonetheless. Yes.
How would they exactly read it?
Well, I think they could copy what they're hearing shorthand and then read it back to their significant other. That's what I'm getting at. Yes.
All right. Okay.
Kind of like a stenographer, you know, in World War II, where they're hearing Morse code. Our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners could listen to the dialogue between Razor Rex Sharp and myself and copy it furiously on paper.
Are you saying you transcribed the interview yourself on the paper?
Oh, I've got detailed notes, yes. Which might be given to you in manuscript for your Christmas present.
Possibly. That could be a spoiler alert.
Maybe Laren Golden Songbird Amos would like the transcripts from my interview with Rex Sharp more.
If it was in a nice frame, maybe.
Wow. Now I could make a frame from what nature gives me. Yes. I could cut down some Western red cedar and then kind of glue it, super glue it to my notes and give it to her. And she would give me like a 5-course dinner at a fancy restaurant. I mean, think of that's equal value there. Dinner at a 5-course restaurant and a Western red cedar framed transcript of my interview with Rex Sharp. Dead even there in value, yes.
Huh. All right.
I can see that. I feel the vibes. If Laren Golden Songbird Amos, if she's listening out there, I know you're getting excited. Because, boy, did I ask Razor Rex Sharp the questions that needed to be asked. Yes.
You're saying that above all other things in the world, he needed to be asked if he was a big fan of Henry Rollins.
Oh, yes. And I think Beth Sharp had those questions on her tongue, but didn't quite know how to verbalize them. So essentially, I asked the questions maybe that Beth Sharp wanted to ask Rex.
All right. So you're saying that despite the fact they've been married for years, she just never figured out a way to ask him if he's a big Henry Rollins fan.
Yes, that's true. And how long have they been married anyway?
Like 3-ish years, I think.
Oh, okay. Because I know that the first anniversary of all couples is the wood anniversary. No, wait. It's paper, the first anniversary. Yes, paper.
Are you going to buy a notebook for your robot wife on your first anniversary?
that would be pretty appropriate. Yes, paper. Yes.
All right.
Because I'm wondering what the second anniversary is. That needs to be answered. Paper, and because Dave Barnett, isn't he on his fourth year?
No, he is not.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, if you make it to 25 years, I think that's your diamond anniversary, isn't it?
I believe it's silver.
Silver. Boy, that's gone way down in price. I might be able to give him an ounce of silver, like in the year 20. That would be, what would that be, 2029? No.
All right. Or you could get him a horse like the Lone Ranger used to ride.
Or I could whittle him a horse and name him Silver. That makes much more sense. Silver.
Not really, because then the horse wouldn't appear silver in collar. Unless you painted it.
That's true. It's hard to name a horse silver if you make it out of Western red cedar. Yes. Wow.
The Western red cedar and a whittling knife on hand so you can do this?
The whittling knife. Oh, boy, that's a lot of overhead. Maybe I can get a whittling knife from the Gresham Savior Buddy Highway, who will be in action tonight, like he almost always is. Yes.
So you're saying you're going to ask Buddy Highway for a whittling knife?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Because I can see, but can't you see Buddy Highway when he travels to the East Coast sitting in a rocking chair in Raleigh, North Carolina, on a porch, whittling?
No, not really.
Well, I'd rather picture Buddy Highway in a rocking chair on a porch whittling better than Paul Moonshine.
Now, I could see Paul Moonshine sitting on the porch whittling, watching the Muppets.
Oh, okay, the Muppets, yes. Who do you think Paul Moonshine's favorite Muppet would be? Now, that's a big question. Yes.
Well, he answered it on Total Dudes with Sungai and Rex, the very same episode where you appeared as well.
I think he was lying, Sign Guy. I have a very sneaking suspicion Paul Moonshine tried to throw his favorite Muppet past me, and that he may have been stretching the truth at best. Yes.
So you think he lied about Kermit being his favorite Muppet?
Oh, sure. That's so standard and generic, yes.
So who do you think Paul Moonshine's favorite Muppet really is, then?
Well, I have a sneaking suspicion that it's narrowed down to three Muppets. I'm going to say that he leans toward Fozzie Bear, Gonzo, and that one Muppet that sneaks around trying to blow things up with dynamite.
Well, which Muppet does that?
Oh, there's a Mad Bomber kind of like Muppet that has this plunger that he plunges down and he blows things up. Haven't you ever seen that Muppet?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's your homework assignment, Sign Guy.
All right.
To look up the Mad Bomber Muppet. Yes. Blow things up.
Were you upset this past week on the Muppets when Fozzie Bear was nearly too shaken up from his breakup with his girlfriend to appear in his role as opening act comedian for the show?
Wow, I didn't know. Now, are you and Rex covering this on Total Dudes, the Muppet Show now? Are you including that?
Sometimes.
Wow, fantastic. Who was Fozzie's girlfriend that he broke up with? What was her name?
Her name is Caitlin. They've been dating since the return of the Muppets to television.
Oh, wow. All right. Now, would you say that this breakup is about as monumentalist as Sheldon and Amy's breakup on the Big Bang?
No, because they got back together by the end of the episode thanks to Miss Piggy.
Who, Sheldon and Amy?
No, Fozzie and Caitlin.
Oh, okay, Fozzie and Caitlin. I've got to write that down. Caitlin, okay. Now, I've never seen the new Muppets after it was since they've been reestablished. Is Caitlin also a bear?
No, she's a human being. They're interspecies dating.
Wow, interspecies dating, yes. Well, we're on a pretty much a new frontier here with interspecies dating, yes. I think that Fozzie and Caitlin can lead the way in this. They're pretty exciting. Okay.
Now, I'm going to take a guess, QT. I'm going to guess that your favorite Muppet is Sam the Eagle.
Oh, yeah, Sam the Eagle ranks very high up there, yes. Very high up there. Almost as high as Christopher Isaac, yes.
Wow. I didn't even know Christopher Isaac was a Muppet.
Well, you can see kind of like the resemblance, yes. Yes.
Now, QT, tonight at the North Portland Eagles there at 7611 North Exeter in Portland, huge tag team title match. The Faction versus the Moonshiners. This match came about when Zach Winters and Gregor Petrov paw-napped Paul Moonshine last week. They held him hostage. He was tied up with jumper cables, duct-taped, and apparently beaten severely by Winters and Petrov. When they brought out Paul, they demanded a tag team title shot for tonight. Otherwise, they would have done Paul in. J.B. Moonshine didn't want to see his Paul pulverized and pummeled, so he pleaded with Petrov to procure a match for tonight for the tag team titles.
I see. Now, was Tex Thompson trying furiously to mediate between the two groups, and were the two groups in the ring at this time when J.B. Moonshine was making his plea?
It was actually the commissioner, Kevin Brandt, that was mediating things. The Moonshiners were still in the ring. Petroff and Winters were in the aisle with Paul. They went to the locker room, and came back out after having lost to the Moonshine Brothers in a non-title match. They had Paul in tow. Zach Winters was wearing Paul's hat and carrying his walking stick.
Wow, when you wear a man's hat from Appalachia and you take his walking stick, boy, that's got to play mind games on Paul Moonshine. Yes. I mean, a walking stick is a huge family symbol in Appalachia. That's what, it's like the staff that rules a family. To take that away from Paul Moonshine is monumental. Yes.
Are you saying you're going to try to take it tonight?
Yeah, given the opportunity, yes. You know, there's a little bit of heat between me and Paul Moonshine, yes.
I have gathered that. Now, he is working on the Shine Salt. If he hits you with that Shine Salt, I don't know if you'd be able to recover.
Now, physically, Paul Moonshine and I have a little bit of heat. I've always maintained that I could out-chin up him, out-push up him, and outdo him in 40-yard wind sprints. But, kind of philosophy-wise on our outlook of life and general, how would you say, scientific and philosophy, we're kind of alike. We're starting to meet eye-to-eye on Facebook page, mentally. Yes.
So do you think that there's any chance at all, any whatsoever, that within 2 weeks' time, you and Paul will be sharing a steak down at the Dancing Bear?
Well, proper nutrition does feed the mind, sign guy. So I could see, sharing a bear claw with him. Not the moonshine that he carries to the ring, but maybe a bear claw, if we're separated by a plexiglass shield. Yes. Because physically we're still at odds, and I'm going to lay it the smacketh down on him when I can, yes. But mentally, we're pretty much equal, yes.
Oh,
you could say, sign guy, that I'm extending a mental olive branch to Paul Moonshine. Mental olive branch.
Well, if you had a steak at the Dancing Bear, maybe that would be the first step in mending the physical toll that has been taken in this war.
Oh, now, son, guy, I'm not sure about the steaks at the Dancing Bear. I'd much rather go to that Heavenly Donuts that's on the corner when you do travel to Blue Collar Wrestling. You've seen the Heavenly Donuts that's near the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, now, would you share a donut with Paul?
I'd have to split it with a razor-sharp knife, and then use, compass holders to grab exactly one half of the donut, or tongs, and then extend that to Paul Moonshine, avoiding any contact with him, but extending a donut to him, yes, with some tongs.
Now, if that went well, would you feed Paul's half of the donut to him using the old choo-choo train into the caboose method?
I've never really heard about that before. Then, I'm not sure if Paul Moonshine is partial to trains. How are the train exhibits up there and our industry in the Appalachians?
They'd have to be fairly good because they have to get supplies up there. But I could definitely see saying, here comes the choo-choo train pulling into the station. And when he gets to the last bite of the donut, you say, here's the caboose pulling up to the station. Come on, station, open the station doors. And Paul saying, oh, okay, opening that mouth and then getting the last savory bite of the donut. I'm going to guess he'll have a maple old-fashioned.
Wow. Well, Paul Moonshine does strike me as kind of like a coconut sprinkled over white icing on a plain donut, and even this talk is slightly nauseating. But yes, I might be open to trying to force down my revulsion and doing that with Paw Moonshine. You know what they say when you break bread across the table from someone? Yes.
Well, this would be a donut, not just any bread.
Well, yes. They're both raised yeast products. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
All right. Now, yes. Is there any truth to the rumor that there will be coffee at this meeting?
Oh, boy. JB would have to supply the coffee. Yes. If I supply the donuts and am offering this peace offering to Paw Moonshine, someone would have to supply the liquid. That would be JB Moonshine.
Is that because you pour a little bit of moonshine into the coffee?
That wouldn't hurt. I think that would soothe these rough waters that exist between Paw Moonshine and myself. Yes.
It might create rough waters in your colon, though. I don't know if you can handle the donut and then a cup of coffee that's filled half full with moonshine.
That's true, Sun Guy. Now, as you know, water, pure water that has a pH of something like 6.7 is the ideal pH range to make moonshine. You can look that up. I'm not lying here. 6.7 pH. And a lot of those streams in Appalachia are starting to get polluted. Yes. Due to global warming. Yes.
Or it could be because the people up in the Appalachia just, they don't have indoor plumbing, so they just use the stream.
Oh, gosh. yes, that'd be terrible. Well, I'd have to insist that if Paw Moonshine were producing under that condition, if he was producing that whiskey, I'd have to see him treat the water with bromide and chlorine, both bromide and chlorine, and then boil it. Yes, and then apply ultraviolet light to said water. Then I'd probably drink it, yes.
That seems fair and reasonable.
Okay, so Paw Moonshine, if you're listening, write this down, bromide and chlorine, and then boiling that, and then treating it with ultraviolet light. I'm only saying this, I will try your whiskey and or coffee made of this water, and I'll feed you a donut, because I haven't seen you with a bullhorn in recent weeks. You finally may have got it through to your head that this was QT's shtick, or would you maybe not even his shtick, his calling to keep that bullhorn, and I had copyright issues with that. Yes, you blatantly stole my bullhorn idea. There it is. I laid it all out on the table. Yes.
Yeah, those issues run deep within you, between you and Paw Moonshine.
Oh, yes, yes. But, you're down the road when Paw Moonshine does get into the ring, and Tex Thompson has a microphone, and he goes, Tex, I'd like to get that microphone away from you and speak on some very important issues. And then he could go on to say, I acknowledge QT is slightly ahead of me on IQ points, and he's a slightly better businessman by using said bullhorn. I would also like to extend the olive branch to him and have him be the co-manager of the Moonshiners. I think that could work out splendidly. Yes.
So you eventually want to manage the Moonshiners, or are you saying there's a little bit of heat between you and Paul, possibly on some level deep inside of your soul, because you secretly want to manage LB Moonshine?
Well, it wouldn't be really a hostile takeover. Yes.
Is that a hostile reference?
Yes. But, Sun Guy, I was there at Blue Collar Wrestling from the beginning when I saw the first couple matches that these Moonshiners wrestled. As you remember, when the Moonshiners were first introduced, not too much fanfare about them and not too much fan reaction. I, of course, was applauding wildly. Yes.
That is true.
I recognized a spark of potential in them, yes. But Paw Moonshine wasn't around for that first match. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't.
Well, he was probably still making his fortune in the moonshine business.
That's true. That's true. And he may have been incognito in the crowd, but I didn't see him. As you remember, Sign Guy, a man called Psycho Sailor did take the moonshiners under his wing, and he had them in like a sailor's academy. He had them as apprentice seamen, if you remember. In fact, the moonshiners brought oars to the ring, and Psycho Sailor said, "When I say jump, they say how high." And they actually jumped into the ring.
Well, are you going to take them back to that, is what you're getting at?
I would like to take the moonshiners back to their seafaring academy ways, yes. They seem to have a little bit more discipline back then under the Psycho Sailor tutelage, nautical tutelage, than they do today. Slightly, yes.
All right. Now, also today, I believe, QT, the return of some of the Spokane Anarchy wrestling stars that we saw a couple of weeks ago at NWA Blue Collar. I believe there's going to be a few on the card today. Are you excited to see some guys from Spokane?
Now, that's a long road trip, Sign Guy. Did they make it over Snoqualmie Pass safely? That's my main concern.
They did. There were a few of them on the card last night in Vaughan at Northwest Pro.
I see. Were there any newcomers from the Spokane faction that you can name? That the Blue Collar Wrestling fans will see for the first time?
I believe it's the same crew that was in this area the last time for the most part.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, very good.
Now, also QT, next week on the 20th, NWA Continental Champion Will Huckabee coming into Portland. Title versus title in a week. Will Huckabee putting the Continental title on the line against Bad Blood's NWA Pacific Northwest title. Winner take all.
I see. Is there any chance that Will Huckabee will extend his own type of olive branch to Bad Blood in the form of a candy cane?
It doesn't seem like that's in the offing, but you never can tell. Now, is Candy Cane the name of your favorite stripper at the Dancing Bear this time of year?
Candy Cane as a stripper, yes. How did you know about this? Yes.
It was a logical guess.
Will Sign, now that Will Huckabee with his Continental belt, is this Continental belt about as big as the one that is you can see in various photos with Casey Carlisle? Is it as big as the belt that she's carrying?
It is not quite that big.
Can you give us an update on Casey Carlisle merchandise? Is it flying off the shelves? And have you yourself procured several of these photographs, including wallet size, to maybe give out to Desmonds of Blue Collar Wrestling next week on the 20th? Passing out Casey Carlisle pictures. Yes.
Well, I don't think that she has wallet size available at this time, but if she did, I would have a few. But my understanding is her latest promotion was a huge success. Lots of Casey Carlisle merchandise sold last week.
Now, what is the largest financial windfall that she's received from a single event on her display table? Has she mentioned if she's topped $300?
She has not given a figure. I don't know if she releases her financial statements to the general public.
I see. Okay. Will Patty from Patty's Home Plate ever release her financial statements? You know, she gives away a lot of merchandise with those drawings that she has. Yes.
I believe those also not available for public consumption.
I see. Not public consumption, yes. I mean, they're not giving away hot dogs or nachos, although that's very good concession stand food at Blue Collar Wrestling. Yes.
I'm going to guess your favorite concession stand item that they've ever had was the meatloaf.
Oh, no, chicken fried steak.
You said that without the slightest bit of hesitation as well.
That's true, yes. Very true. I'd much rather have the chicken fried steak at the Dancing Bear than a regular steak.
But what about at the North Portland Eagles?
Oh, North Portland Eagles? Well, that's definitely chicken. Oh, no, they don't. I don't think they've ever served steak.
Maybe if you started a petition tonight, they would.
All right, yes. I should get together with Tex Thompson and ask him that. He's always willing to talk to me, yes. Now, Sunday, with Smooth Steve Rush or Dean the Drifter in action last night?
Actually, Dean was, and his alternate universe name is Paul Preston. He was in a no-disqualification street fight with Chuck Payne, came up just a little bit short when both men went crashing through a table, but Chuck Payne was able to drape the arm across him and get the three count.
Oh, boy, were you referee at the time?
I was not. It was actually Diamond Timmy Reed was the referee.
Oh, all right. Now, do you think that Diamond Timmy Reed this upcoming week should get ranked in Turnbuckle Turmoil's top 9 7/8 for his refereeing duties? Did he call it right down the middle?
He seemed to, yes.
Now, Dean, now this table that Dean the Drifter crashed through, was it a glass table?
No, it was wooden.
Okay, wooden, all right. Softwood or hardwood?
Appeared to be a little bit on the softer side, but, you know, just a standard press table. He and Chuck Payne both went through one. They had two stacked together. Both men went crashing through a table.
Wow. Wow, okay. I mentioned glass tables because, you know, in combat zone wrestling there in Philadelphia, they usually crash through glass tables. So you say this was a kind of like a softwood table?
Yeah, just your standard press table.
Okay, pressed, okay. I'm going to say softwood. That is needle-bearing trees like Douglas fir. And it's not the hardwood trees like the leaf-bearing like elm or maple. Yes. Okay. Well, that's something. Well, I could get them ranked if both of them managed to walk away from crashing through a table. Yes. Even though it is softwood.
Still takes a toll on a human body.
Do you see the day where Pa Munson and I might crash through a softwood table?
Well, if you anger Tex Thompson enough, it's possible.
I see. Maybe we could crash through a high jump pit. That might be better.
Maybe.
A thin layer of foam rubber. Yes. That'd be much harder, much easier on the vertebrae. That's what I'm getting at. Yes.
Now, have you perhaps considered, given a little bit of thought, of inviting Tex Thompson to share in this donut experience between you and Paul Moonshine? Maybe he could keep the peace.
Well, now if there's a partition between us, kind of like in a prison setting where you can kind of, there's a partition between conjugal visit people. They usually just put the fingertips up, each of them, and touch through a kind of like a, they don't even touch. They just kind of put their hands up against a plexiglass. I could see a thin plexiglass partition with a cutout between Paul Moonshine and myself. Then with a little bit of a box cut away with a latch, a clasp, hook, that would open up this square. And then I would have to feed the donut through this square to Paul Moonshine. Yes.
So that's a no on inviting Tex Thompson.
Well, no, Tex Thompson can be there. It's just that no one can make a grab for the other person's wrist through this kind of like cutout square that the donut was supposed to pass through. Tex Thompson would be kind of like the referee in this, how would you say, break the ice meeting through food? in this case, a donut. Yes.
I bet Paul could still grab your wrist through it. He's a wily kind of fella.
He is wily, and he should be named after like a mongoose. Yes. I always thought that.
You think his name should be Mongoose Moonshine?
Yes. Yes. He could have a big M and a small M on the black of on the back of like a leather jacket, kind of like what those gangs from New York in the 50s wore. Yes.
Yeah, but he's not from New York. He's from Appalachia.
Well, don't they have leather jackets in Appalachia? Kind of like deer jackets, deer hide jackets. Yes. Deer hide or bear.
Possibly. Now, is that considered leather?
Kind of leather hides, yes. Leather hides.
All right.
What if you had a cowhide jacket, Sanjay? Well, you kind of classify that as leather, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but leather comes from cows. I don't know if leather necessarily is usually coming out of a deer, but maybe.
Oh. Well, a deer and a bear. What if you crossed a deer and a bear and made a leather jacket out of that?
That'd be awfully odd.
What would this creature look like? Would it look like? It kind of look like a jackalope. You've seen those bunnies with the antlers on them, right? Those are legit.
Well, yeah. Christopher Isaac speaks a lot of jackalopes.
He does. Yes, he does.
Yeah, he's always talking jackalope this and jackalope that. It's his favorite animal.
Well, wow, okay. All right. Well, there you go. I think there's your link. It's a cross between a bear and a deer in Appalachia. Paul Moonshine makes a jacket out of that and puts MM on it. Big M, a small M. Yes.
All right. Now, people won't think that he's trying to be Macho Man, will they?
Oh, no. I didn't know. No one can imitate the Macho Man.
What about Mario Mancini?
Ooh, yeah, that's pretty close. Or maybe Alomar from the Razor Ramones. He does a very good Macho Man imitation.
That's true. He doesn't even look like himself when he does it.
Yes, that's true. Yes, the metamorphosis is startling. Yes.
He is a master of disguise.
Now, son, I was kind of wondering at this event last night, did you see Jonas Albert Robinson or Rockin' Rip Ricky Gibson in action?
They were not on the card, but making his first appearance for Northwest Pro, Mike Santiago.
Whoa! Wow, Santiago, okay. Now, who was he wrestling?
He wrestled Rook Kelly out of Spokane.
Wow, Rook Kelly, I see. For our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, how big is Rook Kelly?
Well, as you saw when he wrestled Petrov a few weeks ago, he's maybe 190 pounds.
Uh-huh, very good. Uh-huh. Kind of in the shape, sort of Ravishing Rick Rude. He gave me that impression.
I wouldn't quite put him in that category, but he was in pretty fair condition.
Well, certainly not in the midsection, you know. No one can have the ripped abs of like Ravishing Rick Rude had. Yes.
What about Rob Terry?
Well, yeah, he's pretty close. Yes. I forgot about him, yes.
How do you forget Rob Terry? The man's a monster.
Well, that's true. What's he go, about 6 foot four and a half? Yes.
That seems pretty close.
I see. Okay. How about Chris Pugsley? Was Chris Pugsley there?
I did not see him there. But one of your most adversarial sports entertainers of all time was there. Dash Venture was in action.
Wow. All right. I didn't know Dash Venture was back in the Northwest. I thought he was still in Kentucky.
Well, if he was, then how could he have wrestled last night in Vaughn, Washington?
Oh, probably because he has a good flight plan. Yes.
That could be.
Flight mile. Yes.
Are you saying his arms may have been tired?
Ray and Golden Songbird Amos paid special attention, yes, about flying everywhere and having tired arms, yes, and a rim shot. That's what I'm saying, yes. But no, Sun Guy, I'm saying that Dash Venture usually flies out of Portland on United, yes.
All right.
As you know, Sun Guy, I was always kind of leery about flying on any plane with Dash Venture, yes.
That's true, you actually were. I believe your
yes.
exact words were, eek, eek.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, when you first meet Dash Venture for the first time, and this might have been in Dash's younger years, he comes off as slightly, how would you say, aloof and abrasive.
Are you saying he's old?
No, I'm saying that Hart made a song specifically about Dash Venture, and that song is If Looks Can Could Kill. Yes, If Looks Could Kill.
Oh, okay.
Dash has that throwback to the 1800s in the Wild West when you were facing down a gunfighter. That's what I'm saying. Be it at the OK Corral or even up here in extreme Northwest California. If you face a gunfighter on a street, and it's kind of like in Back to the Future when Michael J. Fox was trying to act like Clint Eastwood, and he gave you that stare. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Much sense, yes, and I wasn't rambling there. Yes.
Remember rambling Ricky Gibson?
Rockin' Ricky Gibson?
I believe for a short time he was also rambling.
Wow, all right. Yes, I do. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, QT, it looks like it's getting close to time. I want to head down to NWA Blue Collar, get away from some of that traffic that's plaguing I-5. So I think maybe we should wrap this up. Get out there to NWA Blue Collar. Lots of shows just in the Portland area today, so get out there wherever wrestling might be. Support the independents. We'll be back with you next Friday afternoon. We have T-Rex to conclude Rex Month. T-Rex out of NWA Blue Collar, so should be a great show. Next Sunday, we'll have Brett Scholl on the program, fine wrestler out of Canada, so join us then, and we'll talk to you next week.